The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next on Life Today, Beth Moore explores God's kingdom purpose.
Lord, I'd already memorized it. I memorized it back in 1985. You know what? You need to go memorize it again. Get a new version. And I'm not saying he spoke to me out loud like that. That would have scared me to death. I would no longer be here. I'd be wearing that hair out like this. But I mean, in my spirit, it was go back and memorize it again.
God's kingdom purpose for you, next on Life Today.
Watching at home or on the road or anywhere. Thank you for joining us. I'm Betty Robinson.
I hope you're not going down the road. You know, everybody's texting on the road, being traveling. You know, you can be in a bar or wherever you are. But
I don't know what I'd do without you explaining what I'm saying.
Isn't it a comforting?
It really is.
Frustratingly comforting. Anyway, the fact is, though, Betty, people are getting to where they can watch television on their iPhones and on all the different kind of phones, so they could be driving down the road watching. I really don't suggest you look, pull off the road and watch Life Today. Today it's Wednesdays with Beth, and you are going to enjoy it. May I just suggest something to you? Go to lifetoday.org and look at the Words of Life sometime, and then over to the right you can see commentaries from the desk of James Robinson. I write normally on national issues of concern so that we know how to focus our prayers, but also understand how to apply biblical truth and biblical principles to everyday life problems and challenges. I highly suggest that you check that out. You can go to jamesrobinson.net and you will find where I am communicating every week from my heart to you. And I'd really like you to begin forwarding that to your friends and encouraging them to get it regularly and forward it to their friends. Betty, if we can get the family of God to begin interacting like family and begin to share transforming truth, because we are really seeking that in your behalf and in behalf of the family of God and all the people on planet Earth. So pass that along. Beth Moore joined with Betty and with me, teaching God's kingdom in you, living in His presence in the present. Here is Beth teaching the last portion of this where she just took off on the Beatitudes. It's wonderful. Here's Beth Moore.
I had the opportunity to take both the grandkids with their parents to the zoo just last week. And we stopped in front of the whole area where the elephants are. And there's just nothing more precious than a baby elephant. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, it just was like God was in a tremendously good mood. I mean, that was some really wonderful thinking when He came up with that. It's just the sweetest thing. And I leaned down to my grandson, who's just about to turn 5. And I said, Jackson, you want me to tell you a story? When Bibby was 6 years old, for her 6th birthday, her Aunt Wanda asked her what she wanted for this big day. And do you know that I asked her, wrote it in a letter with all my phonetic spelling, I asked her for a baby elephant with beads and headdress that I could ride to primary school. What on earth? Now, I'm going to tell you something. I was raised in a family of 8. So if you're thinking that sounds like an only child syndrome, I don't know where that came from. But I don't know why. I just wanted like the humble entrance of one riding a baby elephant to first grade. I just thought somehow that really resonated with me. And he got so tickled and it tickled me again. But it occurred to me looking at these passages in Matthew chapter 5 again, this ain't no ride on a jeweled elephant. I can remember the first time that it really occurred to me that ministry was messy. Can anybody else? Oh, I remember like yesterday when I thought, whoa, this is about real things and real people. and the need for some answers that we don't necessarily, in our human thinking, even as believers, filled with the Holy Spirit, we don't know how to answer them. And this is messy. This is messy. And it struck me all the way into the core of my heart. This was the gospel in the middle of the bloody mess of human need, surrounded by every single kind of torment. This is the place Jesus came to save. One translation says that they were seized with all kinds of diseases and tortures. And I wonder if our inner struggles, our inner torments and fears, and our inner paralysis manifested itself on the outside, what do you think this crowd would look like today? And yet, do you realize that's exactly how he sees us? You got it all over you where Jesus is concerned. I got it all over me. And the beautiful part of it is that I don't have to have the burden of covering myself with him. He already knows. I love that. I need that. I love knowing that with him, I can just be exactly who I am in the condition I'm in, because that's what he came for. That's what he came for, to minister to broken people, sometimes tortured people, just exactly like us. I want you to notice with me that good news is never better than when you're in a bad way. Never. He gave the good news in the context of those who were in a very bad way. And just in case you think you don't fit in a scenario where Jesus ministered, listen, everything goes. You don't have the one ailment he cannot treat. We bring it to him as if we're wearing it all over us. And he sees us, every one of us, in that crowd. And I want to just suggest to you that maybe, maybe the bottom line message of the Beatitudes was this: blessed are you if you need me. Blessed are you if you need me. Maybe that's why he could gather the disciples up that had to have been bug-eyed by this point, and he could say to them on the side of that hill, as they were glancing around them, looking at all this mass of humanity, listen, let me redefine for you blessing. Blessed are you if you know you need me. That's number two. I've got a little treat for us here because I have no idea what's coming. I have written down a scripture in my notes without anything else said with it, and I have no idea where it's going to take us. That's the beauty of it. Let's turn there just in case. It's wonderful. Psalm 57:2, I have no idea why it's there. Let's go see it. Lord, please make it something. Oh, yes, yes, I love this. Okay, yes, yes, it's going to be good. Okay. Oh, that was good, Lord. Psalm 57, verses 1 and 2. Oh, praise you, Lord. Have mercy on me, O God. Have mercy on me. Does somebody just need to say that? Maybe it's early in the morning when you're watching this particular program, or maybe it's late at night, but maybe you are in a state where all you can do is cry out for mercy. You've got the right Savior. That's what Jesus Christ is for. Have mercy on me, O God. Have mercy on me. For in you my soul takes refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. Are you in a disaster? Take refuge under the shadow of his wings. This is the part, verse 2. I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. I got to know that no matter what he has allowed to come into my path, I'm going to cry out to him in the middle of it, because somehow he is fulfilling my purpose. It's going to have some kind of impact on what I'm doing here on this planet. Does anybody agree with that? That if it's going to go through the sifting of his hand, of his good and faithful hand, I have got to know that if he allows it, after I have asked over and over to be delivered from it, somehow It has a place in the fulfillment of His purpose for me. I've said this to you many, many times on Wednesdays, but I want to say it again because I believe it with all of my heart. You can live with pain more than you can live with purposelessness. It's the way we were made, created in the image of God. We think, Lord, deliver me from this pain. And listen, do pray it. Paul prayed 3 times for the thorn in his flesh to be removed. But I'm going to tell you this, what you and I were born for and what we long for is to know that there is some reason why we are on this planet. That the Creator of all the universe chose us for this time for purpose, and that no matter what I'm going through, I cry out to God Most High, who fulfills His purpose for me. I got to know it. I got to believe it. And back to Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are we if we know we need Him. I want you to really lock in on that word blessed for a moment. Blessed. All throughout the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, the pure in heart, those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. That word blessed, there are a couple of different Greek words that can translate blessed. Not very many, but a couple. The primary word that translates into our New Testament, overwhelmingly the word used most often for blessed in your New Testament, is makarios. Makarios. If you just like to write down transliterations, I'll give it to you. It is M-A-K-A-R, makarios, I-O-S. M-A-K-A-R-I-O-S, makarios. I want you to hear one translation of it. I want you to hear a definition out of the New Testament lexical aids for makarios, or this word blessed or blessing. Biblically, one is pronounced blessed when God is present and involved in his life. The hand of God is at work directing all his affairs for a divine purpose. That's just what we were talking about in Psalm 57:2. His affairs for a divine purpose. And thus, in a sense, such a person lives coram Deo, before the face of God. Coram Deo, Latin for before the face of God. Listen, blessed are we when we need Him, because that's when we live face to face. That's when our face has got to be up. Yeah, I got to tell you something, and I wonder if some of you that have some years on you, like I do, and have walked with Jesus for a couple of decades, might say the same thing. You know, a fate worse than death for me is the thought of losing my fervor for the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. I pray for that more than anything else in all of life. I want to love Him, and I want to love His Word, and I want to love people. And my worst nightmare is that fire would somehow get diminished. And, you know, life happens, and burdens come, and the heart can sometimes just get tired and calloused. And you know what He will use over and over again to revive me? Need. A crisis will happen. Just about the time I'll feel a little bit dull of spirit, like, Lord, and I'll cry out to Him when I first begin to see it. And I'm not talking about when we're just sleepy one day, but I'm talking about when it's been a couple of days, a couple of weeks, and we just don't feel that fire of the Spirit in us. The Word is not leaping up off the page like we want it to be. And we just cry out, Lord, return my fire. What He'll use over and over again is some kind of crisis that puts me back on my knees. And suddenly, John 3:16 all over again, for God so loved the world, He loved the world. I mean, all of a sudden, I'm back right there to that. I had such a crisis within the last year, a very close, relational, full-on crisis. I'm saying that every now and then, like some of the things I go through would be like, you're going like, what a ninny. You don't even begin, you don't know real. No, this is one you would even think like, okay, that's big, that's big. It's one of those kinds of things. And in going through that, it was the strangest thing. God led me back to memorize the love chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I mean, for heaven's sake. I mean, isn't that what we hear at every wedding? I mean, we know that one. We know that one. Suddenly, after all these years with Him, it was go back and memorize. Lord, I'd already memorized it. I memorized it back in 1985. You know what? You need to go memorize it again. Get a new version. And I'm not saying He spoke to me out loud like that. That would have scared me to death. I would no longer be here. I'd be wearing that hair out like this. But I mean, in my spirit, it was go back and memorize it again. Suddenly, love is patient. Love is kind. It's not boastful. You know what else? It's not rude. It's not rude. It doesn't give up. And suddenly, like 1 Corinthians 13 jumped off the page and into my life again, all because I needed him worse than I needed my next breath. Are you using it? Whatever crisis you're going through, it has fruit for you. It has fruit for you, but are you using it? Because it can send you into a glorious tailspin, a revival, like no amount of ease can do. I want to see Jesus at work in my life and in the world. And that's how he makes me acutely aware. And the power of the word suddenly comes to life right there on the hot pavement for me, his child. In Scripture, some form of the word blessed is used from Genesis to Revelation 544 times. 544 times. In a different wording, this is a different word in the Greek language. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says that we receive every spiritual blessing in Christ. And so what does it mean to be poor in spirit? Verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Exactly what we've just talked about. In our need, when we come to him with absolutely nothing in our hands, nothing to lay on his altar, to find some kind of favor that we could ever earn, but in absolute poverty of spirit. It says, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It doesn't say it will be. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Because those who are poor in spirit are very likely, if they're willing, to be rich in God. I want you to see verse 4 that says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Now, notice that it does not say that the blessing is the mourning. Grief is not a blessing to us. But there is a comfort that comes. And very often, God may use someone to bring it. Someone in flesh and blood that can throw their arms around us and tell us it's going to be all right. I had an opportunity just a little while ago to somebody in this very audience that might have just needed a mother for just a few minutes, just needed to hear a mother figure say, you know what, you are so tremendously valuable and I love you and hardly even know you. Comfort through someone who has received the comfort of Christ. But there's also a time that we know the comfort of God just by ourselves.
To obtain information on Beth's teaching materials and for her speaking schedule, visit us online at lifetoday.org.
Boy, let me just say this. When Beth referenced how we do find comfort for one another in others, mm-hmm. and we should offer the comfort wherewith we've been comforted. But sometimes it's just God. Earlier today, Betty, you know how crazy we are about our little dachshund princess. I was literally kind of wishing I had a camera rolling because this is so silly and yet it's so wonderful. I've got this little black dog's long little nose right up here by my cheek and I'm holding her. And I'm saying to this dog, who cannot understand a thing I'm saying, but she can feel what I feel. I said, Princess, do you have any idea how much I love to hold you? Just to hold you. How much I love you. And let me tell you something. I learned so many things in that little dog. How I can pour out so much love on something that can't comprehend it. And this is the love God is pouring out on us. And sometimes he just wants to hold us. And yes, when your heart's broken, he wants to hold you. Give him that opportunity. He loves you. And he wants to comfort you with the power of his presence. Let him, Father, comfort the afflicted. Comfort them. I want to show you something. I want to show you someone that you will want to hold. And can I tell you, God wants to hold the child you're about to see and many others, and you are the only opportunity for God to get his arms around little children like this. Watch.
baby. My baby, my baby. Precious, precious. Here's a story of Lucia, who is 9 months old. I'd never seen anything like that, you know? Up close, I never got to hold a baby like that. She'd only weighed like just a little over 6 pounds, and she was starving to death. You know, I never want to speak death, but to be honest with you, I think it moved me so much because I don't know how much longer that baby has to live. There are hundreds of children that I met this week that are in that same circumstance, or they're heading there. Every 6 seconds, a child dies from malnutrition. This is real. This is absolutely real. Could I change that? Could we change that?
Boy, I tell you, that little arm was about the size of my finger. And Betty, we saw that brief glimpse of the graves. I can remember that little child like Lucia with those eyelashes, and I thought, so many girls wish they had pretty eyelashes, but at least they've got eyes, they can blink. And I thought, God, I want those little girls to grow up. And I watched Tammy Trent, her husband, drown years ago. She said, I never got to hold my baby like that, basically is what she's saying. But Tammy, you're so precious as a Christian witness. And you're putting God's arms around a lot of little children every time you go and work with us and the missionaries on the mission field. And Betty, I'm appealing to all of our viewers today. Give Lucia and many others a chance, would you please? I plead the cause of the innocent, the helpless. God, I've been so blessed, but I've been blessed to bless. And I really believe God blesses us by blessing others, and I believe He blesses people that bless others. I believe it's more blessed to give than receive. And when we release, it's amazing how when you become interested in what God's interested in, it's amazing how He seems to focus on your interests, your concerns. Join Him in His concern. Join the missionaries. The heart cry of God you heard through Tammy. Put arms around these children. Let's feed them. The missionaries have located hundreds of thousands of children. That's just a little representative of those children you saw. Would you take 3, 5, or 10 by making a gift of $30, $50, or $100 to feed those children for the next few months? Would you do that? Would you please reach out and touch someone with love? If your heart's broken and you dial that number paid for by love, and you say, pray with us, and even today, while we appeal for those in need, 80% of the calls, if it's typical, will be people call and say, would you pray with me? Yes. Yes. But would you today say, I want to be an answer to someone's prayer? I want to be an answer to a heart cry. I want to give food. Could you help us take care of 100 kids? Make a $1,000 gift? Care for 10 by giving $100? Can you do it? Will you? 30 or 50 for 3 or 5 children to feed them for the next months? It's not asking much, but it sure is giving a lot. Would you dial the number, use your bank card like a check? Please do it. Just start moving. Put feet to somebody's prayers and be an answer. Meet that need. Write a check, make it to Life, or go online, lifetoday.org. But make that special gift, please. We've got some gifts for you. God's kingdom in you, being revealed through you. It'll be a blessing to you. I want to send you the CDs or DVDs, Jim Hilton's book, Where Heaven Touches Earth, The Supernatural Skyline. Thank you for helping us share life. Thank you for your love.
At this very moment, a child is drawing her last breath, struggling to stay alive due to a lack of food. Sadly, this impoverished child is not alone, and without our help, many like her throughout Africa face death as well. Today, you can make a difference. You can save a life. Life's Mission feeding teams are in place right now, ready to answer the hunger cries of 500,000 children throughout remote areas of Angola, Mozambique, and Sudan. With previous food reserves gone and Southern Africa facing its worst conditions and food shortage in more than two decades, we desperately need to replenish our supplies for the feeding programs immediately. Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll send you the God's Kingdom in You audio series and companion scripture guide. James and Betty Robison, along with Beth Moore, inspire you to live every day in the power and presence of God. With your gift of $125 or more to help feed 10 children, you may request both the video DVD and audio series with scripture guide. As a bonus, we'll also send you Jim Hilton's new book, The Supernatural Skyline. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help save the lives of 100 children, and be sure to request the beautiful new Heart of the Father bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online.
You are going to be so blessed by Jim Hilton's book, The Supernatural Skyline. We spent a lot of time building churches, and we've not understood the importance of building the kingdom. Jim Hilton says we've spent too much time in wineskin wars rather than letting God give us a new wineskin to receive the fullness of His Spirit. Powerful truth. God's kingdom in you will send it to all of you who will simply help us give life and a chance to these precious little children the missionaries have located. Please make that life-giving call. Give us a chance to bless you and join us blessing others. Thank you so much for your help.
I think it's a good example of how we have to be provoked to see people differently.
What will the next generation of Christians look like next week? Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.